For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to another exciting episode of Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage. I am your host, Keith Quirk, and I am riding solo for this excellent, fantastic post-Christmas NBA Chicago Bulls victory over the Indiana Pacers. 113-105, the final scores on NBA TV. I was able to watch most of it. Full disclosure, I am about, we'll say, three-fourths of a sheet to the wind after some whiskey and some IPAs, enjoying myself with my in-laws here on the Christmas break. But I still had a chance to watch and take notes. They were gracious enough to let me use their TV to watch the game. And I'm happy to recap it for you guys, man. It was an excellent win. Bulls just kind of took care of business. But yeah, 113-105, the final score. We had Zach LaVine. Oh my gosh, so great to see Zach LaVine back in the house, back in action. 32 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, a block and a steal. And he shot 67% from the field and 56% from beyond the arc. And you had, obviously, DeMar DeRozan, 24 points, also 9 of 20 shooting. Vucevic, a great game, 16 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 70% shooting. Just, you know, all-around great effort. I really can't say enough. I mean, the Bulls just really kind of took charge from the start to the end. I can't get too excited about this. I see a lot of all-caps updates on Twitter, in the Bulls Twitterverse right now. Not as excited as you guys about this one. I mean, the Pacers aren't necessarily the most stable team at the moment. You know, a lot of uncertainty there, especially with whether or not they're going to blow it up and begin a rebuild. Miles Turner not happy with his role there, and obviously, you know, Sabonis not necessarily excited with what's going on there as well, but more so a building block for them for the future. But Sabonis didn't have a great game. He had a very quiet second half. He ended with 14 points and 5 of 17 shooting, 16 rebounds. He did grab, of course, 5 assists. Miles Turner, who we were talking about before, 19 points, 9 of 18 shooting. He also had 2 blocks, which is kind of his MO there, 5 rebounds, not necessarily a guy that grabs a lot of boards. Caris LeVert, 27 points for 9 of 22 shooting for them. So those are the big three there for those guys on that side of the ball. Chris Duarte, I got a chance to see him, obviously. One of the rookies that's having a pretty phenomenal rookie campaign. He had 16 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. Like I said, it was kind of a game where the Pacers didn't bring a lot of energy or a lot of resistance to begin the game. The Bulls just came out and took care of business. We got a lot from our big three there in Vooch, Zach, and DeRozan. And the Pacers really couldn't combat that. Obviously, I wanted to see who was starting, since Lonzo Ball was ruled out before the game started with the health and safety protocols. End up being Kobe White, which is kind of the obvious answer. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. I don't know if there's anybody on our roster though that would necessarily be a better starter. Maybe a Devin Dodson, but he didn't even play at all tonight, so probably not. Maybe a Troy Brown Jr. at point guard. I don't know. Maybe play some Zach at point guard and play some Io aside him to the starting lineup. Might be some other options here. Obviously, we didn't even have Billy Donovan either tonight, so don't know how much. I would guess he's probably having a lot of say still in the decisions like that, who's starting and what the rotations are going to look like, even though he's not necessarily there for the games and coaching the games. He's still got it's not him coaching the games, but he's still got a lot of say, I would imagine, for those games. Or for those decisions, I should say. So, it's fine that Kobe started. I think that Kobe's going to be a bit of a punching bag for Bulls fans. He didn't have the best night. He hasn't had the best night ever since he came back. He shot 3 of 10. He had 8 points. He had what, one assist? Wow, one assist and two turnovers. So not really playing a point guard role. 0-4 from beyond the arc. Not really hitting down jump shots either. I just don't. He played 33 minutes, and that's a stat line, guys. I just don't think he's bringing a lot to the table. And I know everyone's going to say trade Kobe, trade Kobe, trade Kobe, but what are you going to trade him for when his trade value is still pretty much at the lowest it's ever been? You might have been able to trade him after last season when he had kind of bloated numbers from playing so many minutes for a not so good team. But now, I mean, who's going to take him? I mean, maybe a rebuilding team or a bad team that has veterans, like a Houston Rockets. Maybe you can get like a, I mean, you probably can't get Eric Gordon for Kobe White, but there's just not a lot of market out there for Kobe White. So I just don't know what you guys are expecting here. But again, if you're joining us here, it's the Sports Ethos Bulls Chicago Bulls coverage. Listeners, please take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos BK on Twitter. Go follow it now. So I got to get that plug in there. But yeah, some observations here from the first quarter. Again, gonna pick on Kobe White here, but about 5:45 left in the first quarter, I just noticed that Kobe White just had he had multiple bad turnovers in this game. Just no ball security. This has been a problem with Kobe White. This is why he couldn't be our point guard of the future. This is why he can't be a starting point guard in the NBA. The guy just has a hard time hanging onto the rock and handling any kind of defensive pressure. So it's a situation where it's just not great, and he's not giving us a whole lot out of that point guard position. I read he just read you the stat line. He had one assist to two turnovers, so it's not necessarily the best thing in the world from your starting point guard. Vooch, I was looking at Vooch, man. Vooch, I was really excited to see what he would do here because obviously the Pacers have two big men in Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis who just light it up. I mean, those guys can do pretty much anything a starting center on any NBA team can do. And, they're both on the verge of elite, I would say. Neither of them is elite by themselves, but Miles Turner is interesting. He has the elite shot blocking ability. Domantas Sabonis has the elite passing and scoring ability, I would say. So if you kind of combine those two, and I know this has been said before, it's not necessarily the most groundbreaking thing in the world, but if you combine those two, you kind of have like the most legit elite starting center in the league. But obviously, you can't do that. It's not like real life. So separate, they're just okay. They're kind of verge. But I was wondering how Vooch would do against these guys. They're big. The Pacers are. So he looked great. Vooch had a fantastic game. If he can play, and just he had a great game last game too. So if he can play like this consistently, the Bulls are going to be a real problem in the Eastern Conference. Mark my words, jot it down, do whatever you have to do. I've been saying it, and so has Trey, my co-host from the beginning. The Bulls are here, man. They're here to stay. They're 1.5 games behind first place after this win tonight. At a 20-10 record, they've won twice as many games as they lost as they than they've lost. They've won 2/3 of their games. The Brooklyn Nets are ahead at 22-9. I don't know if that sticks. I don't know if the Bulls can leapfrog them and maybe get in first. The Bucks are just 2 games back. They're a half game behind the Bulls. So I do think the Bucks probably end up above the Bulls in those standings. I think we've been saying it all year since the preseason. 45-47 wins is the realistic goal here for the Bulls team, for our Bulls, I think. And if they end up better than that, so be it. That's awesome. I mean, I'll take it, obviously. If they end up worse than that, that's a huge disappointment. That's a failure. But that's not going to happen at this point. I have this like great lead here, unless something terrible happens, multiple injuries or something like that. It's just not going to happen. So the Bulls are just cruising along. And the Heat. I have to give the Heat some props too. They're 2.5 games back from first, and the Cavaliers 3 games back from first from the Brooklyn Nets. Both of those teams deserve a lot of credit, especially the Heat, just dealing with all of the COVID people that are out with that, with the health and safety protocols. They're still just chugging along. So, the Bulls are in the mix there. I do think they end up above the Heat. I do think that they end up below the Bucks, probably below the Nets. I don't know. I just don't. Some part of me just doesn't believe in the Nets, especially now that Durant's in the health and safety protocol and. Kyrie's still, he's done away games now, and there's just so much drama there, though. It's like he's playing in away games, but he's not going to play in home games. It's a sticky situation that I just don't think is going to be easy for them to navigate. I do still think that they are a team that's going to win more games in the regular season. I don't want to say a better team, because I think in a 7-game series now, after I've watched some of this basketball, that the Bulls could take the Nets in a 7-game series. I mean, does that? I don't know. I have nobody to bounce it off of here. It's just me, but I don't think that sounds crazy. I don't think that is a controversial take. I don't think that's something that people are going to argue with. Think the Bulls can take them. So I guess we shall see if that does happen. Some other observations, though. Obviously, yeah, like I said, Vooch was looking great. He was 4 for 5 from the floor at one point in that first quarter. That Zach LaVine dunk with 4:30 left in the first was just jaw-dropping. This guy just came back, from 11, 12 days out, whatever it was, and put on a show, man. This guy shot incredibly. He took the best shots on the floor. I don't think anyone realistically in Bulls Twitterverse or in Bulls fandom was saying, hey, the Bulls might be a better team or a legit team without Zach LaVine. But if they were, this would put that to bed, right? This is just like this guy just like he went out there and played a flawless game. I mean, there was really nothing in his game that I could point to and say, oh man, I wish he would have done this differently. He did have 4 turnovers. Obviously, you need to limit those. Maybe somebody who's a nitpicker picker could go out there and say, oh man, he shouldn't have turned the ball over 4 times. But 33 minutes, 12 of 18 from the field, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, 5 assists, 32 points. 5 assists to those 4 turnovers. There's nothing. It's a flawless game. That's a Zach LaVine game. It's a gem. It's a gem in fantasy. It's a gem in anything. And speaking of fantasy, guys, we have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. And speaking of DFS, guys, I am one of those guys. And I was all over Vucevic having 11 or more rebounds tonight, which was at plus 100 odds, and he crushed that. He ended up with, 15, I think it was, or 16, 15 boards. 15 boards. I also had DeRozan at 3 assists. He ended up at 3 assists exactly. Javante Green, 4 rebounds. He ended up with 4 rebounds exactly. So, if you play some prop bets, guys, and need some advice, some help, go get the DFS pass or the wager pass here from Sports Ethos. It's excellent. It's great value. Go sign up for it. You can get access to excellent pros like myself and some others over there at Sports Ethos who can help you out. But yeah, continuing with this Bulls here in the first quarter. I was curious to see what the rotations would look like with so many people off, out with the health and safety protocols. I mean, we still have a bunch of bodies out. I haven't counted them recently, but it's got to be like a half dozen. But obviously, we had Ayo Dosunmu off the bench first, and then Troy Brown Jr. came off after that. And then Matt Thomas got some run. And with 6:11 left in the second, Matt Thomas had an off balance three. that really kind of made me get up off my seat. Put the Bulls up 14. Detroit had, or I'm sorry, not Detroit. The Pacers had to take a timeout there, and it felt like a moment where, like, the Bulls were really just in control. I mean, the game could slip at any moment, but it was nice. He had some positive minutes out there. Matt Thomas did, and I like to see it as a shooter. He was 1 for 2 from beyond the arc. He was in 19 minutes. I mean, he didn't do a whole ton. He had 2 assists, no turnovers. He did what he had to do. 3 rebounds. He did what he had to do. He did what was required of him on the floor at the time with, three other scorers around him in Vucevic, in LaVine, in DeMar DeRozan. Our three big dogs just did their jobs, guys. The whole first half, the Bulls shot 63.4% in the first half. Everything else, when it comes to turnovers, rebounds, offensive rebounds, in that first half, it was pretty much neck and neck. But the shooting was just off the charts, and that shooting wasn't a product of being lucky. It was a product of being in the right place at the right time, getting the right shot. A little bit of a product of the Pacers being a little bit lackadaisical on the defensive end. So we went to the half just very confident, like the Bulls were going to win this one. It was pretty much, I wouldn't say decided at half, but it was very well in hand at that point. Then they came out in the second half, and they looked a bit flat. The third quarter started a bit sloppy. They were just sloppy with the basketball. They ended up with having about 11 turnovers to 7 turnovers at some point in that third quarter, when it was pretty much like 7-6, 8-7, something like that at halftime. So they ended up with, several more turnovers than the Pacers did in that third quarter. And Pacers made a little bit of a run. They cut it to like 10, 11. And it was hard to, it wasn't hard to watch. It was just, it looked like the Pacers might put together a run, and the Bulls had to pretty much put that to bed, right? They had to nip it in the bud. And they did. They came out in the fourth quarter, they put him away. DeMar DeRozan really seemed like he took Torrey Craig's defense personal. He showed a bunch of emotion and hit a big jumper, mid-range jumper in that fourth. Most of the Pacers' runs came off of bad possessions and then baskets in transition, so we can't have that happening, quite a bit. But that's where most of the Pacers' runs came from. It wasn't necessarily that they were like breaking us down offensively or that they were playing great defense. It was just us being sloppy with the basketball and them just making runs. They cut it to 7 with like a couple minutes left, so they cut it pretty close in the third and fourth quarter, but it never really got close, so close that it had me like on the edge of the seat. So that was good. After Christmas, that was really good. It was good to have a Bulls game that was also equal to that challenge. But it was great to see Zach LaVine back in action, man. He had a big fourth. I think I want to say he had 13 points in the fourth. Let me see if I can filter this here by just the fourth quarter. I'm not too sure if I can. I don't think I can, but he had definitely had at least 11, I think at least 13, maybe even 15 points in that fourth quarter. Oh, yes, I can. Hold on. I can tell you. One moment, please. 12 points. He had 12 points in the fourth quarter on 5 of 6 shooting. DeRozan only had 6 points, but they were all timely baskets from both of those guys. I mean, those guys just shut down runs. It seems like people are talking out of line when they say stuff like that, where it's like a timely basket or a one basket means more than something else. But it is a very mental game at the end of the day. And when a team is going on a run or a team is starting to deflate you and feels like they're coming back, they're making a run, they have you figure it out, right? It's like, okay, they can score on you at will, or they can play defense on you and create turnovers at will. It is so important for you to have somebody on your team that can make a bucket, and that on the Bulls is two guys. It's two guys, at least two guys. Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan. Those guys combined for 18 points of the 26 that we had in the fourth quarter. And shot the ball pretty well. DeRozan 2 for 7, so not necessarily that well, but Zach LaVine was 5 for 6. So if you combine those two, it's what, 7 for 13, over 50%. I mean, You can't beat that. That is elite level in the NBA. That those closers are that it's huge. I can't believe, we watched this team without Zach LaVine, and it was fine. We tried to water with DeMar DeRozan, and all was good. But with those two guys, this team is dangerous. This team can hang with anybody, anybody. Vooch had three fouls, interestingly enough, since I'm looking at it. Three fouls, two assists, four rebounds, no points in the fourth quarter. No points. Something I'd like to maybe see a little bit different. Kobe White, of course, 0 for 1, two fouls, one turnover. Just not a great night for Kobe. I would love for him to have, a string of 10 or 15 games where not even it, just 10 games. Give me 10 games of solid basketball, Kobe, so that we can trade your ass. I mean, what else can I say? I would love to do something else with Kobe. I do love Kobe. I love him as a person. I think he had some really big offensive games for us when we needed that, and I think he can provide that to a team. But I need to see it more. I need to see it now, before we go shopping for what we can get for him. Javante Green. Let me talk about Javante Green for a minute here. Javante Green had a fantastic game. He just worked off the ball. Vooch found him on a couple of really great cuts, got three or four dunks at least. I don't know how many dunks exactly, but he was getting easy buckets at the rim. It's interesting to note that, and then looking across the way on the Indiana Pacers and seeing a guy like Justin Holiday. And I'm not comparing the two. Justin Holiday and Javante Green are very dissimilar players. They don't play, I mean, Justin Holiday is more likely to shoot a three or take a fadeaway jumper than dunk the basketball or work the baseline or get an offensive rebound. So they don't occupy the same space in a basketball sense, but in a roster construction sense, they're kind of the same player. I mean, they're a little bit the same because the money they make and obviously the role that they play. It's like kind of an outsized role for what compared to what they would play on another team, which is kind of strange to say. But basically, what I'm saying is, for me personally, I was kind of comparing the two and just kind of looking at like Justin Holiday, who played good basketball for the Bulls while he was here, and not necessarily winning basketball. And then I'm looking at Javante Green, who also plays decent, good basketball for the Chicago Bulls, and it is winning basketball. But they're role players. They're doing what they are asked to do. They're coming and playing a role. I feel like when Justin Holiday was here, he was asked to do more than that, and that's just not who he is as a player. Just great that we can see a guy like Javante Green on our team having meaningful minutes. I mean, what do you play tonight? 30 plus minutes, I'm sure. Let me see. I know he wasn't playing a lot in the fourth, which is kind of disappointing. But let me see. For the entire game, he had more minutes. 35. No, that's the wrong guy. 28 minutes. So 28 minutes, meaningful basketball minutes. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 of 4 shooting, 1 of 1 from beyond the arc, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Perfect from the field, which you can't ask for every single game, but he did what he had to do. And again, working that baseline, working the boards. He didn't grab any offensive rebounds tonight, which is a little bit surprising. I don't think there were many to be had, though, as the Bulls shot 56.6% from the field. So there just weren't a lot of rebounds to be had. Speaking of rebounds, let's see, 45 rebounds for the Pacers, 40 rebounds for the Bulls, so they held their own, did just fine. Assists, 23 for the Pacers, 17 for the Bulls, which is a little bit surprising. Turnovers, 9 for the Pacers and 15 for the Bulls. So yeah, again, just sloppy basketball in periods, especially with Kobe White in, which is really unfortunate to say, but it's true. So outside of the turnovers, Bulls just pretty much dominated this game. They end up winning. I do have a couple of interesting points here. Zach LaVine, great night for him, obviously. So, we're high in him right now, so this is a little bit unfair to my friend. But I did have a friend message me early in the day and tell me that he thinks Trae Young deserves to be in the All-Star game above Zach LaVine. And his reasoning was, and I'm going to give his reasoning as best as I can. I'd love to have him on the show to discuss his reasoning himself. Maybe he'll come out. I can ask him. But his reasoning was that Trae Young has to carry the team by himself, and Zach LaVine doesn't. To which my response was, hey, well, maybe that's true, but the Hawks are sitting on a 15-17 record, so they're 2 games below 500. So Trae Young's carrying them to a sub 500 record. I mean, I know he's out right now with the health and safety protocols, but I just think that's crazy to think. It's not crazy. I respect Trae's game. I think Trae's a good player. This season, though, in the way that these awards work, I just don't see how Trae Young deserves it more than Zach LaVine. I disagree there. I also think, though, on the other hand, and like I said to him, I don't want to be rude or be inconsistent here. As I said to him, I think these are more popularity awards than anything else. I think that there isn't a lot of weight behind these awards. There's no clear credentials, right? It's just kind of like, hey, I like the way this guy's playing really good basketball versus this guy playing really good basketball. And a guy can play good basketball on a bad team. There's no doubt about that. We talked a little bit about DeMar DeRozan. If DeMar DeRozan doesn't make it on an all-star team, there needs to be riots or something. I don't know what has to happen, but that's just insane. There's no reason that DeMar DeRozan shouldn't be on the all-star team this year. So if you voting opened, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, again, not something I'm super into, but yeah, go vote for DeMar DeRozan. Vote for Zach LaVine. Don't vote for Zach LaVine. Do whatever's on your conscience. I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me. But some guys you just know. And for me, the guy that I just know on the Bulls is DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he's top five in the MVP conversation finally, after we talked about it last show. Some of the other major outlets and talking heads picked up on it, and now he's suddenly in the top five in MVP voting. So this is a guy that needs recognition. So go give him some love on that All-Star voting. I'm sure the Bulls would appreciate it. The Bulls, and just watching them this season, just from a general standpoint, they're just a step above their competition. On basically a nightly basis. There are off nights. There are always off nights. There are nights, and casual fans and people that just watch, tune into the games, don't really pay attention might not catch this, but there are times, especially when you're traveling from one arena to another, and there's a long travel, and there's not a lot of time in between games, or you don't have a lot of rest, where you put up a stinker, and that happens to every single team, even the best teams in the league. And there are times even when you have rest and you have plenty of time and you have plenty of time to practice and game plan, where you still put up a stinker. You can't put the ball in the hoop or whatever it is. It's just something that happens in the game of basketball. And I'm not saying the Bulls are immune to that. The Bulls definitely do that. It happens, just like it happens to any other team. But on in general, like I would say 80%, 70 to 80% of the basketball games that I watch for the Bulls are just have a competitive advantage. And that's new. That is new for Chicago Bulls fans, especially Bulls fans who saw the post-Jordan era Chicago Bulls with the Andrew Langs and the Elton Brands and the Khalid Elamines and the Corey Benjamins. I mean, these guys struggled to stay in basketball games. And then we had the era of the Derrick Rose Bulls, where we were dominant, but there were also stinker nights. But that was probably the last time we really saw this kind of basketball where it's like these guys are just on another level. And then Derrick tore his ACL, and then it was always, in my case at least, I always felt like, oh, you feel bad because you know what you're missing. And I know we've talked about that on this show a few times, but you know what you're missing because you know you're missing good basketball, and that makes it even worse. It makes it, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's not the right saying, but it just makes it feel worse. And so it's been a while since, the Bulls fans could really watch games and say, oh, clearly we have the advantage here. We're supposed to win this basketball game. And so it's just so refreshing to see that. Bulls fans are going to naturally be frustrated with Coby White here. He was kind of the scapegoat if the Bulls would have lost because he just really didn't have a great game. And I can't really defend him. I can't really defend him. But that's the one negative thing from this game is really just Coby White didn't have a fantastic basketball game. Other than that, everything was golden and it went according to plan. And I'm sure Billy Donovan, wherever he's game planning from in a hotel somewhere or maybe back home, hopefully he's home with his family. I'm not sure. But I hope he enjoyed it and he saw everything that he wanted to have done. But no, a couple other thoughts. One more thought before we leave here. I did want to talk about Alphonso McKinney, who just signed a standard league contract today with the Chicago Bulls. Well earned. Day after Christmas, great Christmas present for him. Bulls waived Alize Johnson, and Alphonso McKinney just fits so much better. This is the guy. You know, he's kind of the archetype of the guy that I've been talking about, where he's kind of a 3-and-D guy. He can hit the open jumper, he can play defense, he can crash the boards. He's another Javonte Green, another Derrick Jones Jr. And I see my co-host Trey's thoughts on this, where he says, hey, we're loading up on these guys. They're all kind of the same guys. But I think Alphonso McKinney does fit that mold. I think he fits better than what we need with Alize Johnson. If anything, this validates me in saying that this is what the Bulls are looking for. They're looking for this archetype of fella to fill this role. And, if that is the case, then, I'm curious to see what they're going to look for at the trade deadline. I am worried. I don't know about worried, but I'm a little curious to see if since they did sign Alphonso McKinney, if they're going to keep looking for another guy in that mold, or if they're going to look more like my coach Trey says for like a big body, which I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, I think the other secret in the room here is that Tony Bradley hasn't been the best player. He hasn't been a fantastic backup. He hasn't been good. I mean, let's cut the mustard, right? It's just there's not much good about Tony Bradley. So I'm curious to see if my co-host is right. If that my co-host will be right if the Bulls think that Alphonso McKinney can be that 3-and-D guy that they've been looking for, and then they might go out and sign a true backup center that's going to be much better than Tony Bradley. Like, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't think it's possible. Like, maybe the Sixers aren't enamored with Andre Drummond. Maybe the Brooklyn Nets don't want to hang on to DeAndre Jordan. And these guys aren't great. I'm not super big fans of them, but if they are backup guys playing 10 to 15 minutes a night, that's a different story. It's not, you're not relying on these guys to destroy the world. They're not world crushers. These guys are guys that come in and do their job, rebound the ball, block the basketball. Better than Tony Bradley. Can those two guys do that? I mean, if you're saying no, then maybe you're right. I would say give them a chance. That's my thought. Anyway, so if they don't go after a guy like that, if they do end up going after a guy like that, one thing I saw tonight that I would just love to, I wish I had my co-host on here again to talk about it with him, but Torrey Craig, a guy I brought up a few times in our trade discussions, a guy that I think would fit the Bulls and be great. Look at his defense on DeMar DeRozan tonight. And obviously the Pacers lost, but he gave DeMar DeRozan plenty of troubles. I'm trying to pull up his numbers here in the second half. DeMar DeRozan did not shoot the ball on the second half, I don't believe. 5 for 14. 5 for 14, 36%. He did score 15 points. That was Torrey Craig. That's the Torrey Craig effect. And this is why I'm after a guy like this, like a Robert Covington, but I think Torrey Craig is probably a budget guy that's just as good, if not better, than Robert Covington. It makes less money. So, these are the kind of guys I'm looking for the Bulls to pick up. And if they don't, if they think that they have that in Alphonso McKinney, which is fine. I love Alphonso McKinney. I think he's done a fantastic job. Then I think that I think that they look for a center type, a big guy, which is what my co-hosts have been talking about. So maybe we'll judge up some guys there to talk about our next podcast. But guys, quickly, before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also to check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. And yeah, I know it's HOOPBALL is a little weird for the promo codes. We used to be HOOPBALL. We are now Sports Ethos. But it is HOOPBALL for those promo codes. So go check it out. Have fun. Enjoy. But yeah, big Bills victory tonight. I am excited. I am happy. I can't wait for the next one tomorrow. Tomorrow we are in, where are we in? We are in somewhere. Somewhere not here. In Atlanta. In Atlanta at 7:30 Eastern against the Hawks. The 15-17 Hawks I just brought up. Trae Young versus Zach LaVine. That's going to be exciting. I didn't even actually know that they were playing them tomorrow. But that makes that discussion with my friend all the more exciting. I'm curious to see how both those guys play tomorrow. And if the Bulls can pull out another victory against a Hawks team on a back-to-back. But that's going to do it for us here at Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls. I am Keith Cork, your host. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And you can find my co-host Trey at Final Finally. And guys, please, 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 please go follow the show at Ethos Bulls on Twitter, at Ethos Bulls. And leave us a review, please. Leave us a review and tell us we're awesome. Tell us we suck. It doesn't matter. Leave us 5 stars. All right. Thanks. I'm Keith.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.